Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 22nd of October 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how nanoscale robots are helping to save lives, how really small technology is helping people to fight obesity, and how carbon nanotubes are handling the pressure. In this week's Azo Nano News interview, I talk with Azo Nano's own David Frewand about this month's Nobel Prize winners and how nanotechnology had a part to play in the awards. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Dutch researcher Christian Rikjen has developed a new type of biodegradable nanoparticle. The spherical structures can encapsulate various fat-soluble medicines, which make it easier to target tumour tissues. These nanoballs are highly promising carriers for the controlled release of anti-cancer drugs. Anti-cancer drugs sometimes have very harmful side effects because they do not distinguish between tumours and healthy tissues. However, by encapsulating these drugs in nanoparticles, they more frequently end up in the right tissue. Due to the biodegradable nature of the nanoparticles, the drug is only released once the particles break down. The breakdown period can be adjusted by using different components for the nanostructures. Electrical wiring diagrams whose conductive tracts are thinner than 20 micrometers and thus invisible to the naked eye can now be produced using new nanoparticle silver inks. The aqueous nanodispersions were developed by Biomaterial Science in cooperation with Biotechnology Services. The curing temperatures of the new nano inks are well below 130 degrees Celsius, much lower than most of the commercially available silver inks. Therefore, the new inks can be printed on a variety of plastics that would otherwise not be able to withstand the thermal load during the curing process. In addition, the printed conductive tracks are very flexible and extensible. Printing wiring diagrams using an inkjet printer is an attractive option because the process is very straightforward and precise. What's more, unlike chemical etching processes, it's also ecologically safe. It's long been discussed that one of the goals of nanotechnology is to create minuscule machines and robots that can function inside our bodies to cure diseases. Once this idea was straight from the scripts of science fiction, but now Korean researchers from Chunnam National University have created a microscopic robot that can travel through blood vessels. Although not down to nano size yet, the robot is still extremely small at just under a millimeter. However, it walks on six legs and is designed to clear blocked arteries. When the robot encounters a blood clot that may cause a heart attack, it can release drugs to clear the blockage. The robot motor is grafted heart muscle that's powered by sugars within the patient's blood, thereby foregoing the need for a cumbersome external power supply. Hydrogen fuel cells will power the automobiles of the future. However, they've so far suffered from being insufficiently competitive. A team at the University of Houston has now developed a new class of electrocatalyst that could help to improve the capacity of fuel cells. Hydrogen fuel cells are tamed versions of the explosive reaction that occurs between oxygen and hydrogen gases to form water. To allow the reaction to proceed gently and the energy released to be tapped in the form of an electric current, the reactants are separated within the fuel cell, and each half-reaction occurs in its own chamber. To get the reaction to proceed, the electrodes must be catalytic. For decades, the material of choice for the electrode in the oxygen half-reaction has been the precious metal platinum. Now the University of Houston team have developed a new material, an alloy of platinum, copper and cobalt, that is deposited onto carbon supports in the form of nanoparticles. The Arizona State University Center for Applied Nanoionics has a new take on old memory. One that promises to boost the performance, capacity and battery life of consumer electronics from digital cameras to laptops. Best of all, it's cheap, made from common materials and compatible with just about anything currently on the market. For some time now, conventional computer memory has been heading towards a crunch, a physical limit of how much storage can be crammed into a given space. Now researchers have been approaching the problem from two directions, either by trying to leapfrog to the next generation of memory or refining current memory. The Center for Applied Nanoionics took both approaches, amping up performance via special materials, while also switching from charge-based storage to resistance-based storage. Blocks of carbon nanotubes can be used to create effective and powerful pressure sensors, according to a new study by researchers at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Taking advantage of the material's unique electrical and mechanical properties, researchers repeatedly squeezed a 3mm nanotube block and discovered it was highly suitable for potential applications as a pressure sensor. No matter how many times or how hard they squeezed the block, it exhibited a consistent, linear relationship between how much force was applied and electrical resistance. A sensor incorporating the carbon nanotube block would be able to detect very slight weight changes and would be beneficial in any number of practical and industrial applications. Two potential applications are a pressure gauge to check the air pressure of automobile tyres and a micro-electromechanical pressure sensor that could be used in semiconductor manufacturing equipment. In a world first, Victorian nanotechnology venture Quintain NS has announced a rapid meningococcal diagnostic test. The test will ultimately allow detection of meningococcal disease in less than 15 minutes, compared to the current tests, which can take up to 48 hours. The morbidity rate for those infected with meningococcal disease is 10%, with death often occurring within 12 hours. Around 20% of those affected will have permanent disabilities. The current available tests take between 2 and 48 hours and often involve culturing either blood or cerebrospinal fluid to detect the presence of meningococcal bacteria. Wearing a portable instrument to monitor metabolism in the fight against obesity and its related health consequences may be on the horizon thanks to collaborative research being performed at the University of Houston and the Methodist Hospital. In particular, researchers are targeting metabolic syndrome, a pernicious complication of obesity that affects about 20% of obese individuals and greatly increases the likelihood of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. The long-term goal is to develop innovative technologies that detect metabolic activity for research and clinical applications. MIT researchers have created a new structured gel that can rapidly change colour in response to a variety of stimuli, including temperature, pressure, salt concentration, and humidity. Among other applications, the structured gel could be used as a fast and inexpensive chemical sensor. One place where such an environmental sensor could be useful is a food processing plant, where the sensor could indicate whether food that must remain dry has been overly exposed to humidity. A critical component of the structured gel is a material that expands or contracts when exposed to certain stimuli. Those changes in thickness of the gel cause it to change colour through the entire range of the visible spectrum of light. Objects that reflect different colours depending on which way you look at them already exist, but once those objects are manufactured, their properties can't change. The MIT team set out to create a material that would change colour in response to external stimuli. Organic-based solution processable devices are promising to revolutionise the lighting and photovoltaic industries of the future. The move away from traditional inorganic materials is driven not only by cost considerations, but also sustainability issues and life cycle costs. However, current organic device efficiency and lifetimes are not high enough for many applications. One solution to improve the lifetime of these devices that has been investigated is incorporating carbon nanotubes in the polymer to form a composite. These inorganics in organics, hybrid composites, add many new dimensions and functionality to traditional organic films. The results show that carbon nanotubes have enormous potential as a versatile material in future optoelectronic devices and raise the prospect of using carbon nanotube to harvest solar radiation in organic solar cells, in addition to improving device stability. In this week's Azo Nano News interview, I talk with Azo Nano's own David Fruend about this month's Nobel Prize winners and how nanotechnology has had a part to play in the awards. David Fruend, I hear last week was a big week for nanotechnology.
Yes, Stuart, certainly was. last week, or actually the week before that, saw the winners of the various Nobel Prizes announced, and nanotechnology featured strongly. So we had the chemistry and physics winners in fields directly related to nanotechnology, and the Nobel Peace Prize itself was all about climate change, a problem that many believe can be solved by the application of nanotechnology.
So who won the Nobel Prize in chemistry?
That was won by a fellow by the name of Gerhard Ertl, and his work was in surface chemistry. The work looks at how individual atoms and molecules behave on a surface, and it's been applied to a whole range of different applications that are now quite commonplace. They range from things like artificial fertilizers through to the catalytic converters that are in our cars, fuel cells that might be in our cars in the near future, and pretty much on every desk around the world, computer chips. They rely heavily on Gerhard's work.
And the physics prize?
Physics prize is an interesting one. It was shared between a Frenchman, Albert Fert, and a German, Peter Grünberg. And they had to share the prize as they both made the same discoveries at the same time.
Obviously tapped into the zeitgeist on the internet and were keen followers of Azo Nano.
Well, they should have been, and that's actually where it gets interesting, because without their work, the internet would be a very, very different place. What they discovered was a new physical effect. It's called giant magnetoresistance, or GMR. Now, by applying their findings, computer hard drives have been able to store far greater amounts of data for the same basic surface size, surface area. And for GMR to work, the layers involved can only be a few atoms thick. So it really is pure nanotechnology that's been applied to a real-world situation.
We've had hard drives for a long time, though. I mean, are these new technologies, or have they been around for a while?
Well, no. Basically, the GMR effect that they found, what that's allowed is for the hard drives to both become a lot smaller or remain at the same size and store a lot more data. So if their work hadn't come along, you would, say, have an iPod that might be able to store one or two songs, not the thousands of songs that they can store at the moment.
And you say the Peace Prize is nanotechnology related as well?
Well, sort of. It's a long bow, but I'll take it there. Al Gore and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for, and I'll quote the statement on that, it was for their efforts to build up and disseminate greater knowledge about man-made climate change and to lay the foundations for the measures that are needed to counteract such change. Now, it's the second bit in that that I believe has the nanotech link, because many commentators around the world are of the view that nanotechnology could well be the key to solving the problem of climate change.
But nanotechnology is very, very small and climate change is very, very big. So how does that apply?
Okay, there's two different ways that nanotechnology comes into play here. The first is to directly reduce the proportion, the production of greenhouse gases that we are producing, so gases like carbon dioxide. So by using nanotechnology, we can remove our reliance, well, we hope to remove our reliance upon fossil fuels like coal and oil, and increase our use of things like solar energy. So the nanotechnology would be applied to increasing solar energy efficiencies by making hydrogen fuel cells and using those fuel cells in motor vehicles and such, having electricity-powered vehicles or supercapacitor-powered vehicles and those sorts of means. The second way that nanotechnology can assist in the climate change problem is to actually reverse the current situation and the current levels of CO2 in the environment. And different ways that are touted as being able to do that include using nanotechnology-modified paints on different buildings that will actually remove the CO2 from the air by engineering trees that will be able to remove even more CO2 from the air than they currently do, and a whole range of different other methods that effectively scrub the air to produce oxygen and solid carbon that can be then used as raw materials in other industrial processes.
So it looks like nanotechnology will in fact save the world as we know it.
Well, it looks that way. I certainly hope so. But it is great that nanotechnology-related scientific achievement has been recognised at such a high level, and people are now realizing that nanotechnology is not just something that's in the lab, it's in our homes, and the devices we use every day are quite often nanotechnology related and have thanks to nanotechnology itself.
David Fruent, thank you very much for your time.
No problem, Stu. I'll talk with you soon.
AzoNano Business News. The University of Massachusetts at Lowell announced plans for an extensive expansion featuring an $80 million Centre for Emerging Technologies, marking the first major move of Chancellor Martin T. Meehan's tenure. The centre, which will concentrate on nanotechnology and biomanufacturing research, would be the first new academic facility on campus in more than 30 years. School officials say it will serve as the cornerstone for a broader plan to expand and modernise the 112-year-old college. Nanomaterials Technology announced that it will conduct a feasibility study with the US-based Emerging Pharmaceutical Company. As part of the feasibility agreement, NMT will apply its proprietary technology, high-gravity controlled precipitation, to the design of drug particles for pulmonary inhalation. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, announced that Collagen Limited, the company's exclusive distributor for Turkey, has signed a contract with Diba, one of the region's two largest garment manufacturers, to purchase 10,000 gallons of the company's patented Nansulate high heat coating to reduce energy consumption and protect against corrosion of equipment in their textile facility. Nanochemical Systems Holdings Incorporated announced that it's reached an agreement with Dr. Matthew Zuckerman for the return of common stock in exchange for the release of any rights to certain patents that Dr. Zuckerman may have assigned or developed with the company. The company is now aggressively pursuing a new strategic direction, which will be based on an acquisition strategy that will create tremendous shareholder value. Nanochemical Systems also announced the completion of the sale of Seaspray Aerosol, one of the company's wholly owned subsidiaries, and the completion of a strategic relationship with Solid Diesel Incorporated. Nanocomp Technologies Incorporated, a developer of next-generation performance materials, today announced that John Doerr has joined the company as Vice President of Business Development. He'll help Nanocomp with management, marketing and strategic planning for the commercialization of the company's carbon nanotube-based products. Microchips Incorporated, an innovative developer of biosensing and drug delivery devices, announced Robert Farah has joined the company as Vice President of Research and Development. Mr. Farah is charged with leading the company's drug delivery and diabetes monitoring programs through preclinical and clinical development. Microchips is pioneering the next generation of implantable biosensing and drug delivery devices designed to increase therapeutic control, reduce painful interventions, and improve health for people with diabetes, osteoporosis, and other debilitating diseases. Well, that was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 22nd of October 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.